reading to you from the 21st chapter of Revelation, and with the 6th verse. He said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 28 minutes tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? In Proverbs 11:30, it says, The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Friends, after you're saved, the greatest thing that you can do for Jesus is to witness and introduce souls to Christ. I used to travel with a bunch of laymen. We used to hold led revivals throughout the state, up in Montana and other parts. And I used to have a motor home, and we'd have six or seven married couples with us. And I would tell stories, soul-winning stories that I'd experienced over the years. And one day one of the guys said, Cecil, why in the world don't you write a book so that other people can hear these stories? Well, I love to hear soul-winning stories. I honestly do. And my pastor, the man that led me to Christ, he was one of the greatest storytellers I've ever heard. He could be preaching along, and all of a sudden, he'd interject a story that would just capture your mind and be about leading some soul to Christ. So back in 1982, I wrote a book called Hey James, Just One More Story. There's 43 soul-winning stories in there. And I'll tell you, not because it happened to me, not because I wrote it, but it's a very interesting book, and you can't put it down because it's a story of many of my soul-winning experiences. Jesus said, If you love me, follow my commandments. In the first chapter of Acts, he tells us we will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Then we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Friends, listen, you think that God would send you and I out in the world if he didn't endue us with power? Friends, we'd be helpless. But you see, when you're out witnessing for Christ, he's working on the other end as well as you are. I used to be so frightened to bring a person to a decision, say, well, now, would you like to trust Christ today? And not very many people I've talked to over the years that I've asked that who have said, no, I wouldn't. Now, if a person tells you, no, I don't want to accept Christ right now, you ask them, well, are you ready to die? No. Well, then you're ready to be saved. Friends, I don't know if people realize how scary it would be to go through life without Jesus, knowing full well if something would happen to you, you would go to hell. And oh, beloved friends, there is a burning hell at the end of a Christless eternity. There certainly is. And no, I'm not a per se hell, fire, brimstone preacher, but I'm telling you there is a burning hell. In Matthew 28, he issues the Great Commission. Listen, there's no options. We are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And friends, you know what? Some of the greatest preachers I ever met in my life were laymen, men who were not ordained. A man, I mean, but they were ordained of God. Well, I was a director of the Grand Forks City Mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota. There was a local businessman would meet on Thursday night and have dinner. Now, these are all dried out alcoholics, but not one of them were saved. One morning, a man came into my office with a little French tam pulled over his eye, and I didn't at first recognize him, but he was a member of that dinner club. He said, "Cecil, could you come and go with me? I want you to take me out in the country in your car." We drove out there in the country, and again, we come to this beautiful, beautiful trees. They were about, oh my stars, 150 feet tall. They're alder trees. And inside of those trees, there was the most beautiful, refurbished country home I'd ever seen in my life. We got out of the car, we went in. He walked over to the refrigerator. He pulled out a quart of whiskey, and he poured himself about 3/4 of a glass of whiskey and chug-a-lugged it. I mean, he drank it down. Then he turned to me and he said, "Cecil, I'm an alcoholic." Well, I said, "I'm not at all surprised that you would tell me about that." He said, "Come on, let's go in my living room and let's sit down and talk." Now, he didn't live there. That was just for his... He had a mansion. I mean, a mansion in Grand Forks. Well, I didn't know anything about the guy, but he soon told me what about him. He said, "You know, I'm one of the richest men in Grand Forks, North Dakota." He said, "I own apartment houses, I own ranches, I own potato farms, I own this and that. I just gave a $75,000 to the First Lutheran Church," and he went on and on and on. And then he said, "But Cecil, I'm the most miserable man in the whole world." And I said, "But you know what I would do if I was you, sir?" He said, "What?" I said, "I'd get down on my knees, on my old bony knees, and I'd tell the Lord exactly what you told me and tell him you wanted peace, but you don't have any peace. All your money and all your wealth has not brought you one bit of peace with God." He knelt there and he told God what a terrible sinner he was. And then I said, "Now ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you." And he did. Dear friends, the last time I saw him before I went to Youngstown, Ohio for another mission, he was taking men and women off the street into his beautiful, beautiful home, and he was teaching them the Bible and telling them how they could find Christ as Savior. You see, he took his Great Commission very seriously. Now, a lot of you listening to my voice tonight are very capable people, but the devil's got you telling you can't do anything. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking. You're not this. You don't know enough about the Bible. Beloved, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're ready to step out and tell people about him, because you can sure tell them how you met Christ. See, Tom Barrett, when I hadn't been saved very long and I didn't know anything, he'd call me up and say, "Cecil, I'm going to take you out and we're going to visit an alcoholic tonight." I say, "Preacher, I can't do that. You know I don't know anything about the Bible." He said, "All right, I'll take care of the Bible part." And then he'd say, "Cecil, tell this man and woman how you met Jesus." Oh, friends, that was the easiest thing in the world. At 79 years, I can tell you life passes very, very fast. While being the director of the rescue mission there in Grand Forks, There was a retarded man, Romeo Garapi. But I just loved Romeo. He lived at the mission permanently. He was an alcoholic, but when he got in the mission, he didn't drink. We didn't let the men drink in the mission. And Romeo had a crucifix in his pocket, a wooden crucifix. And I asked him one day, I said, Romeo, what do you got that crucifix in your hip pocket for? Well, he said, that's my ticket to heaven. Oh, Romeo, I said, that won't get you into heaven. Anyway, he started coming to our Saturday night evangelistic services in the mission. And one night, Romeo came forward during the invitation. And he knelt with me and he said he wanted to accept Jesus as his personal Savior. I put my arm around that dear old man and I prayed that God would help him to find the peace that he wanted so badly. That night, Romeo was saved. And did you know what he did? He reached in his pocket and he pulled out that 6 or 7 inch crucifix. And he said, here, preacher, I don't need this anymore. See, he might have been retarded, but the Holy Spirit of God talked to that old boy's heart. Well, one afternoon in the mission, I received a phone call from the welfare department. It says, preacher, we have a young lady over here. She's got a little bitty baby. She left her husband. She has no place to go. Could you put her up in the mission? Well, we had several apartments in the mission for women who've been beaten by their husbands or things. I said, send her over. So she came over to mission, and she looked like she should be playing with dolls and not have a little baby. She said her and her husband had been into counseling, and they just weren't getting along, so she left him. I went in, and I cooked her a nice dinner at the mission, and while we were in there sitting down, and she was eating her dinner, this great big old 6'6" Army Air Force guy came in, and it was her husband. So he said, this is where you are. And he went on and on. And I said, shut up and sit down. And he did. I'm sure glad he did. He sat down. And I explained to him what I thought the problem was in their family. And I told him this. One of the big problems was spiritual. Well, I took him through a tour through the mission. And finally I said, Bill, I said, I want to give you something. So I reached in my pocket. And I pulled out a $20 bill. And I said, I want you to go over, fill your car up with gas, and take your wife and that little granddaughter down to Duluth to see his grandma. I said, I know the commander at the base, and I can cover for you. He did. He went down there, and a couple of Saturdays nights later, here, him and his wife and the baby came, and they sat in the service, and guess what happened? That night, his wife came forward and trusted Christ as Savior. It infuriated him. He grabbed her by the arm and her baby, and out the door they went, and I thought, well, I'll never see them again. Guess what happened? About 2 weeks later, here he and his wife came, but a baby wasn't with them. I said, where's the baby? And he started to cry. He said, baby's in the hospital. He said, I dropped her, and she fractured her skull. I said, Bill, listen, come on in the service. And the place was packed to the ceiling like it was every Saturday night. Not only just men and women from the mission, but people from churches all around the city. And I said, let's all stand together and join hands. And let's have a word of prayer for that little girl. And then we all sang that song, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Did you know, dear friends, that girl today is a missionary and over in Africa somewhere. One afternoon, I got a phone call many, many years later, from South Carolina. And he said, is this Cecil Moe, used to be the director of the mission in Grand Forks? I said, it is. He said, this is Bill Buchanan. Bill, I said, how are you? My stars, I've lost track of you. I knew you went to Panama City. Well, did you know that guy God called him to preach while he was down there? And he built a church. And he pastored there for years. And then he came down with a Lou Gehrig's disease. And the Air Force kicked him out. And he said, Cecil, I'm dying. But, oh, he said, I want to thank you so much for what you did for me and my wife and my little daughter. I want to thank you so much for telling me about Jesus. And friends, I get that all over the country, and so does everyone else who does soul winning. You run into people that you've met, people who've given their hearts to Christ under your ministry or tutelage. It's the most wonderful experience you'll ever have. Well, we're living in a world that's in darkness. The world needs Jesus. That's why the quartet and I and my wife go to prisons to take them Jesus. In 1979, my wife and I, along with several preachers and their wives, flew to Sapporo, Japan. And we preached a week's revival throughout the country. I had to preach to an interpreter, which I've never done before, and boy, it was tough. There was twin sisters and another young woman accepted Christ during that revival. And then the last night we were there, we had a big dinner, all the preachers and their wives, and I don't know how many hundreds of Japanese, and we all stood together and they sang, what song did we sing? Now I Belong to Jesus. They sang in Japanese and we sang in America. But oh my stars, it was such an experience. These three girls came up on the platform and they said to those other people, "We want to thank all of you preachers for bringing Jesus to Japan." Now, that night, they didn't want us to leave. And there was a lot of tears, I'll tell you for sure. The next morning, we packed up and went getting ready to go out to Sapporo Airport to take off to Tokyo. Here was the whole entourage. And they hugged us and they cried and they didn't want us to leave. And the plane was a little over half an hour late getting off because of those dear people in Japan. Oh, friends, listen, I've got memories that I could tell you all night long. See, you may never be rich, or you may never be a football or basketball superstar, but you can be the most important thing in the world. You can be a soul winner for Jesus. As I give this invitation tonight, maybe God's Holy Spirit is calling you to surrender your life to Him to be a soul winner. Oh, friends, listen. God is not looking for superstars. He's not looking for the super spiritual. He's looking for the surrendered people who will carry this message to a lost and dying world. Can He count on you tonight? You say, "Cecil, look, I've been a Christian for 15, 16 years, and I've never heard anything like that." Well, you heard it tonight. God is looking for men and women and boys and girls whose love will take them to somebody who's lost. When we go to prison and we see 15, 20, 25 men or women saved, I'll tell you, my friend, it does something to you that I couldn't explain it to you. In 1,000 years, I could explain it to you. Tonight, maybe you're a Christian who have, one time were on the firing line for Jesus, but you got cold for. Tonight, would you like to come back and ask Him to help you become a soul winner? If so, bow your head to me right now. And let me lead you in this prayer. Dear Lord, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. But Lord, I certainly haven't been doing my job. Tonight You spoke to my heart, and I'm surrendering my life, lock, stock, and barrel. Take my life and use it, Lord. Help me to be a soul winner for Jesus. And oh, friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Tell me of your decision, will you, so I can pray for you. Oh, I won't use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. Go to work for Jesus. There's not many soul winners around anymore. Most of them are dead down, went to heaven. Thank you. Mo Evangelistic Association, Inc. is a nonprofit organization. All gifts are tax deductible as authorized by the federal government. We are not subsidized by any group. The only support we get is from little people that listen to our broadcast. And boy, let me tell you, I appreciate it. Now, if you'd like to help us with our prison ministry, that's what we're concerned about. Go to these prisons. Just sit down and write a check or money order to Mo Evangelistic Association, 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, Colorado, 80129. We are not beggars. We tell you what our needs are. We ask you to do what you can. I never, never, never ask my senior citizens who are like me, live on Social Security, to give anything because it's just hard enough to live. But you sure can pray, and that's one thing you can do. So do what you can, and I'd really appreciate it. A few years ago, when I was pastor of church back in Oregon, I am not a songwriter. I'll guarantee you I'm not a songwriter. But God did give me a song, and I wrote it. And so I want Bill record it for me, so Bill Adlon, so I want you to listen to it and see what you think.
Yes, friends, I do know the Lord, and my, how I wish you knew him too. I know the Lord, and I know that he died to ransom you. He'll pardon you. Also, he'll redeem and he'll cleanse you too.
Believe his name, receive my blessing.
Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity of being on the broadcast tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the dear ones who listen. And oh, I pray, Father, somehow, some way, I'll be a blessing to them. I'll encourage their hearts and help them to realize that God loves the world, but he doesn't love our sins. And Father, I pray that many over the years that have been saved on this broadcast will still be living for the Lord. And I do pray, Lord, that you take care of our financial needs for our prison ministries. That's all we need. And I know, Lord, you'll do that because there's some wonderful, wonderful people listening to this broadcast every Saturday night. I used to have an hour, and I wished we could now, but we can't. But we're thankful for what time we have to be with these, our listening family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, friends, for the past 28 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. Pray for us. Pray for us. I'll soon be 80, but we're still going strong for Jesus. Oh, friends, I'd love to go to prisons and tell those men and women about Christ and see their lives changed. And we've been going there for 18 years, and we've seen some of those men and women are still serving the Lord. Some are out. Some are pastoring churches today. What a miracle. And I thank you, Lord, for using us. We're not much, but we try to give the best that we have. So, friends, until this time next Saturday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.